Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, "Old and new make the warp and woof of every moment. There is no thread that is not a twist of these two strands." All right. So in with the old and in with the new, my friends. Let's do this thing. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com and hosted by me, Amelia Dalton. So yes, what is old is new again, and what is new is still new. So in this week's podcast, we're talking about the newest generation of Raspberry Pi, why old coding skills are in big demand right now, and why organic fast charging may be just a proton away. All right, my friends, let's start things off this week with a little news you may have missed. Sustainable energy storage solution. We all want it. We all need it. But we have not been able to crack that magical organic green code just yet. Or have we? Get this. A group of researchers at Uppsala University have recently developed an all-organic proton battery that can be charged in seconds and discharged and recharged over 500 times without any loss of any kind. So, the key to this revolutionary new organic battery technology is the use of quinones, which are a class of organic compounds that are formally derived from aromatic compounds. So why quinones? Well, first, they aren't mined. They're actually quite plentiful in nature. They're found almost everywhere, in photosynthesis, in bacteria, in fungi, and even in some animals like aphids and sea urchins. But that's mostly because of the quinone compounds found in their food. But what makes these quinone compounds so cool for battery technology is their ability to absorb and emit hydrogen ions. Another important part of this research is the use of aqueous electrolytes, which enable new approaches and technologies for assembling and utilizing batteries that are hard to achieve with traditional electrode materials. Okay, so when electrons are immersed in these aqueous electrolytes, they are able to pass back and forth between the anode and the cathode in a kind of rocking motion. So this is the same kind of basic mechanism found in lithium-ion batteries, but this design actually shuttles hydrogen ions around. Since these ions only contain protons, the system is referred to as a proton battery. So, Christian Scheitzel of Uppsala University's Department of Materials Science and Engineering puts it like this. He says, "In our research, we have therefore set out to develop a battery built from elements commonly found in nature that can be used to create organic battery materials." Super cool, right? So, in addition, these researchers found that because of that unique electrolyte solution, these new proton batteries were completely unaffected by ambient temperatures, and they could easily charge this new proton battery using a solar cell without all that added electronics that lithium batteries need. So, as you can probably imagine, this new proton battery is quite a ways away from prime time. And yes, they are limited to a small button-sized battery right now. So, no charging your phone or your car, anything like that. But according to this team at Uppsala, this new research is a huge stride forward. This new research is a huge stride forward, being able to manufacture sustainable organic batteries in the future. All right. So if you want further information about this study, including a really cool and very hard to pronounce, so I'm not even going to try, white paper, of course I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. All right, it's time to bring in my guest for the week, Sarah Fawcett from Newark Element 14. Sarah is bringing us the goods on the new Raspberry Pi 4. What their all-in-one kit for quick-starting embedded computing is all about, and some really cool home-based applications for the Raspberry Pi. All right, let's go. Hi, Sarah. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hello.
Okay, so here on Fish Fry, we've talked a lot about Raspberry Pi over the years, but give us a Raspberry Pi State of the Union. Where are we at with the 4, and what kind of new cool features does it have?
We launched the Raspberry Pi 4 in June 2019, and so far we've sold over 800,000 units all over the world. And over the last 8 years, Newark has sold over 15 million units of Raspberry Pi models. It continues to be one of our best-selling products and continues to be a popular choice for both professional engineers and indeed makers and hobbyists. For engineers, Pi 4 is a perfect choice for both prototyping and commercial production scenarios, with multiple applications from IoT, AI, industrial automation and control, and predictive maintenance. However, with dual displays, 4K output, this single board computer is perfect for a home user to have it as a new desktop PC with Pi's new and complete desktop experience. So whether you're editing documents or browsing the web with loads of tabs open or juggling spreadsheets, you'll find the experience smooth and familiar, but on a smaller, more energy efficient and more cost effective machine. So if it's okay, I can just run through the tech spec.
Absolutely.
The Pi 4 is the most powerful Pi ever made and has significant enhancements compared to the previous models. Like, the processor is a quad-core ARM Cortex A72 64-bit processor, which is clocked at 1.5 gigahertz. And in other words, it's 3 times faster than its predecessor. From a video and sound perspective, 2 micro HDMI ports support dual display and 4K resolution. Vitally, connectivity-wise, we now have super speed USB 3.0 with mega fast transfer rates to mass storage devices at 5 gigabytes per second, true gigabit internet connectivity, which delivers network rates of up to 1 gigabyte per second, and then dual band wireless tech networking delivering real world data rates in excess of 100 megabytes per second. So lastly, Pi 4 has a modular compliance certification, which allows the board to be designed into end products with significantly reduced compliance testing, which improves both cost and time to market.
Now, you guys just released an all-in-one kit for quick start embedded computing for the Raspberry Pi. So what's all included in the kit?
Of course. Well, included is the Pi 4 4-gig version, but also features a range of Newark's own brands and highly popular Multicomp Pro products. So this new starter kit really provides an out-of-box experience for first-time users and customers looking to reduce new product lead times. The kit includes all of the hardware required to get started in one box, along with a quick start guide, and it offers savings and convenience compared to purchasing all the items separately. So specifically, it includes the Pi 4 4-gig Model B computer, a power supply, a 15-gigabyte Class 10 micro SD card, which is preloaded with Noobs, the operating system, 2 micro HDMI cables for dual display, and then a choice of a black or white case. And with great value for money, we expect this product to be very popular.
So Element 14 has a robust community of engineers, it seems. What kind of cool stuff have you seen the Raspberry Pi 4 being involved in lately?
Yeah, so we've been posting and sharing loads of cool stuff recently. As you know, it was Pi Day a few weekends ago, and it was a perfect opportunity for us to round up all of our activities into one post. So please go check it out on our element14.com page. We've published a really informative and useful ebook entitled Essential Raspberry Pi Tips, which you can download for free. With tips and tricks around power supply, storage, and troubleshooting, we've combined all of our knowledge into one easy-to-understand short guide. In February, one of our community members published an article complete with code and hardware requirements of a project for real-time facial recognition using a camera and Pi 4. This project was really well received by our community of design engineers, so please take a look. On our Element 14 Presents YouTube channel, we've got loads of videos, and one of which stands out for me is a project building a music player with Raspberry Pi 4 with analog controls, play, stop, and pause buttons, and a motorized fader. And this caters for those who really miss buttons. So just search for Element 14 Presents on YouTube and subscribe from there. In recent years, we've seen all kinds of projects from flashing lights, opening garage doors, and other home automation to Pi in space with the Pi Astro Pi project. With the Raspberry Pi 3 and 4, we've seen a surge in projects on IoT and AI applications, especially for computer and human vision applications like facial and object recognition, smart speakers like Amazon Alexa and Google Home, and to build cluster computers for crypto mining or running large enterprises like Oracle Solutions. People are building all different kinds of projects with Raspberry Pi in the commercial and industrial space. And the results of our recent IoT survey showed that 50% of the design engineers are using single board computers to fulfill their designs. And the Raspberry Pi is one of the most preferred platforms due to its small footprint, ecosystem, and ease of development. So lastly, it's just really easy to be part of our online community at element14.com, to be alongside design engineers, makers, and educators, to answer your questions on the forums or find step-by-step guides of projects to get started. So just go to element14.com to connect with thousands of engineers and innovators from all over the world. All we want to do here is for everyone to learn, create, and be inspired.
Yes, and I am inspired as well. Okay, so Sarah, you and I were talking just earlier about some really cool Raspberry Pi 4-based projects that you and your family have been working on at home. So tell me more about those.
Well, as a mom of two kids, we like to keep them fairly engaged. And we've spent our day today building a solar-powered sensor for our new tomato plants with the children. So the LED will flash red once the soil gets dry. So that's been fun. And then for adults only, we've built a microbrewery in our garage, which is monitored by a Raspberry Pi at all times. And this sends data to my husband's phone on the brew's condition. So both very fun. And I like to try and apply some of my knowledge outside of work as well.
Ha, I love it. Well, Sarah, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, it's been wonderful. Thank you.
Before we go, I got anybody with COBOL experience out there? Yeah, I know. I've got a wide range of listeners to this here podcast. And if I've got any programmers with COBOL experience, my friends, our country needs you right now. So, if you're around my age or younger, you may only know COBOL from a textbook, a rumor, a research paper, maybe. But it's actually an acronym for Common Business Oriented Language. It was an imperative procedural language that was changed to object-oriented in 2002. Now, most of you will know that COBOL was mostly used, yeah, past tense there, in applications like mainframe computers for business or finance and administrative systems for companies and governments. Yeah, so there's the rub. The United States government still has a bunch of COBOL systems and very little experienced COBOL programmers because most of the world's COBOL systems have been moved over to other platforms, rewritten into more modern languages, or even replaced with different software altogether. Yeah, you remember that Y2K thing way back? Yeah, that did a number on COBOL systems. And that happened when I was in college. Okay. So, yes, COBOL still exists today, and just about no one knows how to program it anymore. Great. As recently as 2016, my friends, there was a U.S. congressional committee that released a report called Federal Agencies Need to Address Aging Legacy Systems. Yeah, we knew this was a problem and it was going to become a bigger and bigger problem. So here comes a call from on high, specifically from the governor of New Jersey. You see, there are some pretty darn important programs that are running on COBOL right now in New Jersey, like their very taxed unemployment insurance system. So here's your marching orders, my EE countrymen. Whether you live in New Jersey or not, or in the United States or not, we all need to help right now. So maybe you used to program COBOL back in the day. Maybe you remember something about it at school, or maybe you think now is a great time to learn. Please do. I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on EE Journal with more information. So go COBOL and be fruitful, my friends. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, follow AmeliaD1978. And if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow me or us on LinkedIn as well. Also, we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by yours truly. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store, Spotify, or Podbean. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, even if your company makes it, that's totally fine. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of April 10th, 2020, I'm Amelia Dalton. And you've been fried.